My sisters and brothers, may the Lord give you peace. Good morning. Happy Feast of the Holy Family. And as you can see, we have our homeless child Jesus laying in the snow outside. So with that in mind, I just want to thank you for your generosity at Christmas, because with gloves, hats, and sleeping bags, we've been able to really help a lot of people. Just the other night, I gave a number of the sleeping bags that had come in to the police officers who were making this nightly round searching for homeless people who would not go to warming centers or would not go to shelters, but were in need. And so we were able certainly to help that, and I certainly appreciate your help in making that possible. So we invited to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family today, and I always figure this sort of, it's interesting, you sort of celebrate this Feast of the Holy Family sometime shortly after Christmas, just at the point in which we're ready for family to go home. We're able to say, enough, all right, thank you, it's all been wonderful. So we celebrate this feast, and we listen to the scriptural text, and we begin listening to the text from the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, we have Abraham complaining to God, saying, now, I am childless, and therefore my steward will be the one who inherits. And this seems to be a problem for him. And so God takes him outside and says, just look up at the sky, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky, yes? When's the last time you spent some time outside looking up at the stars? Not all of them are too bright. So will your descendants be. All right? So they may be numerous, but there you are. However, I think what's important here also is the sense that here then, Elizabeth, in her dotage, conceives a child, yes? This should put the fear of God in everyone, because nothing is impossible for God. So, but this son who is conceived, of course, is Isaac, whose name means son of laughter, because when the messengers from God announced that Sarah would have a child, her first response was to laugh, probably in horror. But so he becomes then the father of Jacob. And so we sort of look at, there are family dynamics here that are really very crazy. Because for Abraham also had a son, Ishmael, whom he abandoned. Then Isaac has sons, Jacob and Esau, the forgotten one, yes? And Jacob sort of steals the birthright from his brother. So we have a real rootedness in what Holy Family is about here. So family issues and family dynamics are not new, all right? Well, we come to this and we recognize indeed God's graciousness, that God continues to be faithful even when Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob can't figure things out. God is the one who is faithful. God is the one who continues to call. God is the one who continues to give life. Let me listen to the text from the letter to the Colossians. And wonderful images, indeed, put on kindness, compassion, humility, put on all of these wonderful virtues, but they're bound together by what? Love. They're all bound together by love. But then Paul's prayer, and I think this helps to sort of look at this feast that we're celebrating. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What an incredible gift. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If this word of Christ dwells in us richly, then indeed we have a new understanding of what family might be. It is no longer simply those little boys and girls or those to whom we're related by blood, because this word of Christ that dwells in us is a word that has been spoken, has been given, has been poured into the hearts of everyone. So then our sense of what family is about is much broader. It's no longer the little group to which we belong, nor those of our own nationality, nor those we're related to by blood, but rather it expands beyond every part of our imagination to include all of those in whom the word dwells richly. In the scriptures, when Jesus' mother and brothers come looking for him because they think he's lost his mind, and he's teaching and they can't get to him, and someone says, your mother and your brother are looking for you, his response is, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father in heaven are mother and brother and sister to me. What's the Holy Family then? all who do this will of the Father in heaven, all who put on kindness, compassion, humility, meekness, strength, courage, and bind them together in love. This then is the Holy Family, no matter what name for God we hold or do not hold. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven, those who are engaged in the care for one another, those who open new possibilities, those who give life by the very way in which they live their life, these are the ones who are mother and brother and sister to me. We come to the gospel text and we hear the gospel according to Luke. And in this Lucan text, we have this wonderful image from Simeon, who, filled with Holy Spirit, has been longing for, waiting for this very gift of God and to realize this. And his great prayer that is prayed every night when the friars or whenever monastic people gather to pray the office, the canticle of Simeon: "Now, Master, you have kept your word. Dismiss your servant in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen the salvation that you have prepared for all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Now, Master, you have kept your word. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You have kept your word. You have revealed yourself." And so while Simeon may be looking at the child Jesus, for you and for me, we are able to say this as well: you have kept your word. You have revealed yourself. You have revealed yourself in the homeless. You have revealed yourself in human suffering. You have revealed yourself in those who are marginalized and oppressed. You have revealed yourself in beauty, in longing, in love. Perhaps we think about this for ourselves and recognize our family extends to the homeless, to the marginalized, to the broken. And indeed, you have revealed yourself. We see you present. We don't force your presence upon this, but rather we allow your presence to arise from within, such that we recognize God's presence in the men and women of our lives, and in the men and women when our vision becomes expanded beyond all of the limits that we hold. Indeed, now, Master, you have kept your word. Your word that dwells in us richly, that calls us beyond the limitations that we impose or that culturally we have allowed to be imposed. But as the text goes on, he talks about this is one who is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, a sign that will be contradicted. What is the contradiction for Jesus? It is in how power is used. It is in how power is lived. If you would be great in the kingdom of God, it's because you do what? Because you serve the others. Because you serve the least ones. Here is the one who washes the feet of the disciples. Here is the one who is not afraid to touch and be touched by a leper. Here is the one who feeds the hungry on the mountainside. Here is the one who announces good news to the poor. Here is the one who takes to himself all human fragility and raises it up. This is the sign of contradiction. And so to be well-to-do is to be one who serves well, is to be one whose eyes are open to see, and to recognize a brother or sister in the other. And so this feast of the Holy Family invites us beyond every limitation that we impose or have imposed upon us, invites us to be able to say, yes, you have kept your word that dwells richly within me. You have kept your word and opened my eyes that I might see and know you now.